Evening, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, and very thankful for the opportunity that we have in the middle of our week to gather together, and appreciate you being here this evening. And we're nearing the end of the fifth chapter of the first letter written to the church at Thessalonica. We started in verse number 12. This is lesson number 14. And when we finish here in chapter number 5, we'll go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and have an opportunity to study the instruction that's given there. And this evening, we'll be looking at verse number 22 specifically. As I've mentioned, often the concise instruction provided to the church at Thessalonica is to be learned and applied by every New Testament church. This information, this instruction that is given to the church at Thessalonica, obviously they're the original recipients, but God has preserved this letter as part of the canon of Scripture, and every New Testament church needs to learn and apply these principles. The instruction must impact our behavior. I've said often throughout this study that as you look at these verses of Scripture, you find that there's action, there's response, there's something for us to do. And of course, as we study the Bible, we know that the greatest truth is that it must be applied. We're not just trying to get head knowledge, not just trying to answer some questions and what have you, but we want to be able to apply. And when we apply these principles and we live our lives following these principles, then we'll have the opportunity to please the Lord and receive His blessings. This evening, as we look at verse number 22, we find that there is a principle that God gives us. I believe that this principle that is given to us in verse number 22 is a principle that God intends to guide our behavior, our associations, and our actions. You know, we find that the Bible clearly teaches that God's people should not do evil. That's a known truth, amen? As you study through the Scriptures, and we're going to get to verse 22 here in just a moment, but let me give you a number of verses. We're not going to turn to all of them. I'm just going to reference them, and I'm not even going to turn to them. I'm just going to give you parts of the verses. But in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 25, God says to His people, do no evil. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Do no evil. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse number 5, and then seven more times in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible says that they are to, the God's people, they are to put evil away from among you. And so we find that God has given them that instruction multiple times in the book of Deuteronomy to not only do no evil, but to put evil away from among you. We find that He tells His people that evil would befall them. Why? Because ye will do evil. The consequences of doing evil is God's judgment. We see that in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 29. We find that God is telling His people to do no evil, to put evil away from among you, but then He tells them that evil is going to befall you because ye will do evil. God knows all things, and He knew the behavior of the children of Israel and what they would do, and the judgment that would therefore come, and therefore He pronounces that even in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Seven times in the book of Judges, we read this statement that the children of Israel did evil. Seven times. And we find, obviously, really a theme of the book of Judges is that every man did that which was right in his own sight. There's no king in Israel in those days, and we find that people were doing whatever it was that they wanted to do. There was a generation that outlived Joshua, and then there was a generation that went, they forsook the Lord. They followed after all sorts of idols, and God allowed, because of their evil behavior, He allowed for various people groups to rise up and to bring opposition to them, and we find that God would graciously raise up a judge, and then they'd turn around, and after they'd have a period of peace and rest from whatever that people were that were bringing opposition, we find that they would then once again do evil. In Isaiah 1 and verse 16, the prophet says, cease to do evil. Why does he tell them cease to do evil? Well, because they were doing evil. He wouldn't have to tell them to cease to do evil if they were doing no evil. But we find that they were disobedient to so many other commands that have been given. And this is not an entire list of the commands that God gives with regard to doing evil. You could look it up, and I mean, there are just countless times that God gives this instruction to His people. But we find in Isaiah, he says, cease to do evil. We find it's also in the book of Isaiah, often we reference this, where in Isaiah's day, they would call evil good, and they would call good evil. And God brings an indictment against the nation of Israel because of that. And you understand that it's never the culture, the society, it's never the individual that determines what's good and what's evil. It is God and God alone who determines what is good and what is evil. We find this evening that Jeremiah says this of the children of Israel, Judah in particular. He says that they are wise to do evil. Now that's not a commendation. That's a condemning statement. He's not commending them that you are wise to do evil. No, we're not to be wise to do evil. We find that we're to do no evil. In Isaiah 56 and verse 2, the Bible says, blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it. And then it says this, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Without going through a number of other scriptures, we find that it's abundantly clear in God's word that God's people are to do no evil. We're not to be people that do evil things. But we find that the New Testament principle brings us to a higher plane. It's actually very interesting. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter number 5, Jesus says, you've heard, but I say unto you, you've heard not to murder, but we're not to hate. He said you're not to commit adultery, but if you think on a lady, that you've already committed in your heart. He brings it to a whole nother plane of spiritual living. And we find that, yes, we would all agree that God's people should not engage in evil behavior. They should not be doing evil. But we find that in the New Testament, God's people are instructed to abstain from the very appearance of evil. That's a whole nother level. It's a higher plane. And the reality is that we find that there are some that would have and peddle these ideas today. It's really nothing new. It's been going on since John wrote about it. Paul wrote about it. It's been going on for centuries. But they would peddle this idea that we're no longer under the law, so we can kind of just live however we want. But the reality is that I'm thankful that we're not under the law, but grace is not a license. The liberty that we have in Christ is not a license to do whatever we want. In fact, God calls us to a higher level of spirituality. He says to the children of Israel on repeated occasions, do no evil. But he says to his church, abstain from the appearance of evil. You see it there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22. It's the title for the message this evening. Last week we took a couple of verses. This week we're looking at just one verse. And very simply he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. As I look at this verse of Scriptures, I think about this instruction that God gives to the New Testament saints. We find that we must first determine what is evil. It's imperative that if we understand this instruction that God is giving to His people, when God says abstain from all appearance of evil, that we must recognize this evening that it begins with making a determination of what is evil. Evil, according to the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary, is having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong, and he says, as evil thoughts, deeds, or evil speaking. In fact, most of us, we know what is evil and we know what is good. But the reality is that it's not for us to be the judge of what is evil or what is good. We find that God has given us His Word. God is the only one who can define and give to us the truth with regard to what is evil and what is good. And as you search the Scriptures, as you prove all things, as you determine, as you dig in, you find that God will help us to be able to determine what is evil, what is good. We must analyze the Word of God in order for us to properly determine what is evil. There was a great indictment that was brought in the days of Ezekiel. In fact, turn there, if you will, and read with me Ezekiel chapter 22. The indictment that's brought against the nation during this time and understanding what's taking place, we find that there's great violations. In fact, if you were to read the entirety of chapter 22, you will find that the judgment as a result of the behavior that would come, and there's an indictment against the prophets and the priests and the princes, and then eventually to the people. And we're familiar with verse number 30 when the Bible says that God sought for a man, but he found none. But I want you to look specifically here in Ezekiel 22 and look at verse number 26 with me. And the Bible says this, "Her priests have violated my law." Notice what it says, "and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them." We do not see the word evil, but we understand in this verse of Scripture when the Bible says they have profaned mine holy things, he talks about the difference between the holy and the profane. He talks about the difference between the clean and the unclean. But as we look at this verse of Scripture, we find that what happens sometimes is there begins to be a going astray, a departure from God's Word and from God's truth. And then all of a sudden, mankind begins to blur the line on what is right and what is wrong. What is acceptable and what is unacceptable. And we begin to live in this culture, and I kind of gave hint to this somewhat on Sunday morning, where we allow the culture to have a greater impact on the church than what the church is having on the culture. The reality is we understand that God has always called us. We're the ones that are called to be the light. Amen? We're the ones that are called to shine in a dark world, in a wicked and perverse generation. We are the ones that are called to be that light, to stand forth and to stand up for righteousness. Understand that the biblical principle, and I'm thankful that God gave it, although He gave it in the Old Testament, He does not speak it specifically about the nation of Israel, although it would be applied to the nation of Israel. But we find that the Bible says that sin is a reproach to any people, but it says that righteousness exalteth a nation. And there are people today that they don't understand. So if we're going to take the principle that God gives us, really this guiding principle that God has given us here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22, this principle that God intends to guide our behavior, our associations, and our actions, we must first be able to determine what is evil. What is evil? Is it valid for you to have your definition of evil and me to have my definition of evil and for our neighbor to have their definition of evil and the co-worker? No, the reality is that God has given to us the standard by which we must apply in our lives. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, my truth"? What do you mean your truth? There's truth. And we find this evening that we must begin by being able to determine, define what is evil. We find that next we must understand what it means to abstain. It's interesting, it means to forbear or to refrain, but really the definition, the idea is that it would be something that's done voluntarily, that we abstain from. See, it's not that somebody is restricting you from doing something, it's that we are abstaining on our own volition. And we find that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that that's only possible, that we could abstain from all appearance of evil. But we find that when it says abstain, that that's something voluntary. We find that this evening God does not force Himself upon you or upon me. He doesn't make us. You can make a decision. I've said to people, they said, "Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that?" Look, I could do whatever I want to do. But is it going to be pleasing to God? Amen? We have a free will. But if we say, "I'm crucified with Christ," we find out that we're to follow and take heed to the commands that He's given us. And so we find that this word abstain, meaning to forbear or to refrain, but we find that it's a voluntary action that we take. It's only, again, possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's only going to be possible in your life and in my life to abstain because we're walking in the Spirit. Because remember, the Bible says, Galatians chapter number 5, that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I hope that you've understood since you've been saved, and I know that here tonight, some of us have been saved for longer periods of time and others for shorter periods of time, and there's a wide spectrum amongst us as to how long we have been saved. But no matter how long you've been saved, I hope that this evening you have learned that just because you're saved, it doesn't mean that you have no more fleshly lust. Amen? The flesh is at enmity with the Spirit. Not only does God tell us that, but we understand that. We live that every day. That's why he says that we're to be crucified with Christ. That's why he says that we're to die daily. That's why he says that we're to walk in the Spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It'd be wonderful if there were no more lust of the flesh, but the reality is that the flesh is still there. It's not eradicated at the moment of salvation. So we find that we're to abstain, and we must answer the question as we look here and we've determined what is evil, what does it mean to abstain, but notice what it is that we're to abstain from. It says abstain from all, that's an important word, right? Appearance of evil. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, it's very interesting because as we begin to look at the whole of Scripture, and as I've read so many verses to you already this evening, we find that it's understood that we're to do no evil, but now this higher plane of Christian living, this higher plane of spirituality, God says that we're to abstain from the very appearance, from all appearance of evil. So after we have defined what is evil, after we have gone and searched the Scriptures to be able to adequately understand what is right and what is wrong, what is evil and what is righteous, we find that we understand we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. We then must apply the principle in our lives. How do we apply this principle that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22? Just a simple verse of Scripture, just a handful of words. I would encourage you to commit it to memory. Before engaging in any activity, we should examine said activity based on this principle. Because the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Why didn't do anything? It didn't say, do no evil. Amen? It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. It's a higher level. You understand that we've been called to live holy lives. The Bible tells us that God is holy, and I'm thankful that He's holy, but He says that we're to be holy. And we're to live righteous, holy lives. In fact, hold your place here and turn to the book of Titus, if you will. And I want you to notice what the grace of God teaches us based on what Paul reveals to Titus in the second chapter. Again, there are some that use grace inappropriately in the day and age in which we're living. I'm thankful for grace, amazing grace, abundant grace. The Bible tells us in Titus 2, beginning in verse number 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Notice what it says, teaching us. What's teaching us? Well, the grace of God is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Is it even possible in the wicked, evil world that we live, that we could live soberly, righteously, and godly? Sure it is. With God's help. God is our helper. We find that wonderful verse in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again. We find that the grace of God has taught us some things. It teaches us how to live in this wicked world. We take this principle from 1 Thessalonians, and I think about a church in Thessalonica, and I think about the impact that the church, the believers, understand the church isn't, it's not the building, it's the people. And the people of Thessalonica that are receiving this letter, they're to live in this world, and they're to be a light in their community. In fact, the Bible tells us back in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, that in verse number 7, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. He tells them in verse number 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. In verse 8, it says that they didn't have to speak anything because they were so busy sharing the truth of the gospel and being the influence in their community. We find that as Paul gets to the end of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, he says, abstain from all appearance of evil. We're going out as the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going out as His ambassadors, as His witnesses. We're taking a gospel message, the wonderful, glorious message of Jesus saves. And He says that not only would the truth be that we're to do no evil, but we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. So while we consider an activity, an association, the actions that we might participate in, as we begin to examine those things, using this principle, we must ask ourselves a couple of questions. Number one, I think we should ask ourselves this: will me being here, or will me doing this thing, adversely impact my testimony? Will me being in this place, if I participate in this activity, will it adversely impact my testimony? You know, it'd be a shameful thing for someone to come to you or to come to me as we're engaged in some activity and say something like this: I thought you were a Christian. Wouldn't that be a shameful thing? You know, many times the world knows almost better than Christians know on the things that we should and should not do. It's pretty shameful. I'd be embarrassed for someone to come to me and say, I thought you were a Christian. Why are you here? Why are you doing this? Why are you participating in this? Wouldn't that be a shameful thing? So we must ask ourselves that question. Would it bring a negative to my testimony, to your testimony? I think a second question that we must ask ourselves as we apply this principle in our lives is not only would it adversely affect my own testimony, but would it bring a reproach upon the name of Christ? And quite honestly, that's the more important question. Would it bring a reproach upon the name of Christ? I'm thankful that we're His representatives. But you know, as His representatives, that's a high calling. It's a great privilege to be His representatives. But as we go out and represent Him, we must represent Him well. And we must understand that there's behavior. Listen, there's times within the Old Testament, David's an example, there's others as well, that they gave an occasion to the enemy because of their behavior. David specifically, with the circumstance with Bathsheba and Uriah and all that takes place there. But we could look at a number of examples and we can understand where it's said of, or we can understand as we study and we see what's taken place, how that the behavior, the actions of the children of Israel brought a reproach against the name of Christ. What do people think about our Jesus? It's a good question, isn't it? You know, many times, I know someone said this years ago. It was in a poem. I can't think of the name of the poet at this point. It was a poem many years ago, and the individual that was writing the poem said that your life might be the only Bible that a lost person might ever read. What they meant by that is some people might never actually pick up a Bible like this, but what they believe about God will be greatly impacted by what they see and observe in us as God's people. We're His representatives. And we find this evening that if we're going to take heed to a principle that we find here, abstain from all appearance of evil, that it doesn't just say don't do evil, it says that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. We sing a song with the kids. It's actually quite fun to sing the song. It's amazing some of the songs that we sing with children in Sunday school and vacation Bible school that we stop singing as adults, but what great messages those songs have. The song goes like this: the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. And you could go on and on with that song, and you could say, the places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Why? Because there's been a great change since I've been born again. The things I used to watch, I don't watch them anymore. The things I used to, I mean, you can just go on and on. You can have a lot of, it's a powerful truth. We find this evening that as we look at this principle, this guiding principle, abstain from all appearance of evil. Heeding this principle reflects not only obedience, reflects wisdom. You know, there are some places I'm just not going to go. Why? Because I'm going to abstain from all appearance of evil. I'm just not going to go there. Does that make sense to you this evening? I don't want to be seen at some place of ill report, of whatever it might be. Listen, I said this to somebody years ago. You can go. I have never been, on the record, I have never been to a bar. Okay? But you can go to a bar, I believe, and you can get a Coke. I don't really like Coke. But could I tell you, I'm not going to go to a bar to get a Coke. Why? Because I'm not going to go to that place. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Does that make sense? It's not just because I'm a pastor. It's because I'm a Christian. It's because I'm a Christian. And we could go on and on this evening as we would seek to apply this, but I want you to really grasp this thought tonight. When the Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil, it's a simple verse of Scripture, a verse that would perhaps for all of us this evening as we leave, we could almost just have it committed to memory without even really working on it. Because it's not a hard verse. Abstain from all appearance of evil. But I would say for most, I'm not speaking just about the folks that are gathered here. I'm speaking of Christendom in general. Most behave on a daily basis as if this verse of Scripture is not even in the Bible. They don't give two thoughts about what they don't even think about the appearance of evil. And it's shameful. And this evening, I want you to consider, as we're called to live on a higher plane, and we think about this principle this evening, not only does it reflect obedience and wisdom, but I believe that this very principle, this guiding principle, when obeyed, when applied, you know what it'll do? It'll keep us from doing evil. You know why? Because if I'm abstaining from all appearance of evil, it's going to go a long way to keep me from doing evil. I'm sure I'm not the only one, although I probably get some things that you do not get just because I'm a pastor and the church email gets some things, but I get things just about on a weekly basis of church leaders. Now, I didn't say Baptist church leaders, but church leaders, religious leaders that have been found guilty of some crazy immoral behavior. Do you not see that stuff in the news? It's not just the church leaders. Listen, that stuff, it's being exposed to the church leaders. You understand why the enemy is trying to attack the church leaders, because then the whole thing can kind of just fall apart. But I'm telling you, I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed to speak of some things that I have heard pastors share with pastors of, what do you do in this situation? I've had couples come into my office and they have shared, and I don't even know what to say. And they, you begin to talk about some of the immoral, wicked behavior of Christians. They're doing the evil. But here, what God has called us to is abstain from all appearance of evil. Does that cancel out the principles that we began with this evening, that we are to do no evil? No, not at all. But it goes a long way to helping us not do the evil. This evening, the church at Thessalonica, every New Testament church, Fellowship Baptist Church, every child of God, you and me, and every other blood-washed, born-again, heaven-bound child of God, needs to take the truth of 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and live it out. Abstain from all appearance of evil. What do you mean you can't go there? What do you mean you can't do that? I'm choosing to obey God, and I'm going to abstain from all appearance of evil. The pressures will come. The pressures will mount. Oh, it means you can't have fun? I said to somebody just a couple of weeks ago, you know the awesome thing is, as Christians, we can have a whole lot of fun and we don't have to have any regrets about it. Amen? I'm serious. I just got invited on Monday to go preach for a young adult activity at a church out in Harrisonburg. They're going to have it on a Friday night. He said, I just want to have like a bonfire, kind of play some games and have some preaching. I just want to have fun with the young people in our church. That's what the pastor said to me. And then I want you to preach. I said, okay. But the thing, we can have fun and have no regrets. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I think if we'd really take the truth and define as God does what is evil, we would take the truth of what it means to abstain from all appearance of evil, it would go a long way in shaping, influencing the decisions that we make. The associations, the activities, our actions. Indeed, we are to do no evil. But tonight, we've been called to live on a higher plane. God tells us, abstain from all appearance of evil. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. God, the principle that's before us this evening, so practical, so helpful, so needed. God, I pray that we as your people would take heed to this simple verse of instruction. God, before we engage in activities, before we participate with certain people at certain places, that we would answer the questions, that we'd analyze whether doing that thing or going to that place would violate this principle. Would it bring reproach to the name of our wonderful Savior? Would it adversely impact our testimony for Christ? God, I pray that tonight you'd help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. We thank you for the privilege of corporate prayer. We thank you that you've told us in your word that you hear and answer. God, we praise you for answers to prayer that we have received and how thankful we are. God, I pray that you would bless our prayer time tonight, that through all that's said and done, that you'd be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.